worrying her. She wants to come home, but we need to keep her safe from falling. Other than that, I think she is progressing. And I don't know which extended care she's at. Does anybody know?
I don't.
I sent that to Kaylin. That was all I knew.
So, Brett, didn't you say that she was going to go be in the one right over here somewhere?
I just heard she was going to be extended care. I didn't know which one. Michelle may have guessed that.
Okay.
There's one over here on Brentwood that she was at.
Prior?
A year ago.
Yeah.
2 years
with
ago.
With her other ankle.
6 months ago.
Yeah.
She showed us a pamphlet for BJC Health something, and she said it's the first one, and all I saw was three different addresses, and one was Central West End.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's actually where she was. She was kind of in and out with us, so.
BJC has one that's real close to Clayton.
So that would be the Central West End one.
Central West End is another one.
Oh, is that another one?
Yeah, is it one right off of,
It has three addresses.
Forest Park,
three
Parkway, and Brentwood.
Yeah,
that's where she was at one other time.
Okay.
Well, so it must be that Central West End one, which is Duncan Avenue.
It's in the city. It's down by Big Barnes.
It's just right down the street from there.
But anyway, hopefully she felt loved. It looked like a lot of people went to visit her. Hopefully she'll still get some visitors now that she's in that extended care facility, if we find out which one it is.
And I was planning on going, but probably not with this. I probably should wait.
Yeah.
Did Eric and Elizabeth go to the pancake breakfast?
Elizabeth did.
Elizabeth did.
Yeah. Okay.
So Eric's not been there the last two Sundays, and I don't know if he's out preaching or something with CFS or not. I just don't really know.
I take it that was a pleasant event?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah, you missed it.
Yeah. Pancake breakfast, well attended, lots of smiles.
Yeah,
it was a cold day, but a lot of
people. How about that trumpet guy? Did he do a good job?
Trumpet guy did well.
Yeah.
I was surprising, in a gym, I thought it would just blast, and it was not near as painful as I thought. I mean, it was really good.
Yeah, okay. He's a pretty good musician.
Yeah, he is.
Good.
Glad probably wasn't as many people as normal. I don't know. I'm thinking we're maybe 50 short of what we were, but We had just enough sausage, but maybe the person giving out sausage was very generous. I don't know. All the other parts, we had enough of it. That's how we planned.
Okay.
But it just didn't seem like there were a couple. It seemed crowded, but didn't seem overcrowded like we've been in the past. How about you guys?
Yeah, I feel. So I know that by the end we had everybody. Or we had a good amount of people. Like the most of the tables were full. But I agree that I think that it was very slow at the beginning. And then at one point it was sort of full. But generally it used to be full at the beginning, full in the middle, full at the end.
Yeah.
And usually we could clean up even. But this time we cooked until the end because there people were just so slow in getting there.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but generally it was good, I think. We had lots of visitors on top of the members.
Big line for the gluten-free pancake.
not a big
many,
line.
Not many people.
Okay.
Very few.
Yeah.
But it's good to have that. We need to rip that.
Yeah, I thought, can't hurt.
Yeah. But like Jeff was saying, I think, the new families were there, the Stumps and the Horns and visitors, and a lot of people were interacting with them. I thought it was really good. It seemed like people were very intentional, and, people weren't just alone at a table, people were sitting down really chatting it up,
okay.
And
yeah.
I think it was a good event to good. For that.
Yeah, and another, the family, the Up, what are their names?
Dennis and Tiffany and Anna.
And they brought their, this week, so they've brought multiple people throughout the last, they've been here a month almost now, and so every week it's a different crew that comes with them.
Mm-hmm.
The first week was just the two of them. Then it was their son, I think, that had come with the dad and the mother. And then the wife was back.
Daughter and Son-in-law.
They brought friends from the church.
Yeah.
The second, the third week, and then this week they brought their daughter and her husband. So it's been sort of positive, and they were very interested, and so they live out in Chesterfield. So, like the daughter and son-in-law. So.
Now, is it they related to you, the couple that were he's in the military?
Oh, the Frentz.
The Frentz.
Frentz. So,
okay. Bailey.
Bailey.
Yeah. Okay.
Sort of related.
Sort of related.
Yeah.
However, the kids think we're related. Oh, that's good. They refer to Samuel as cousin.
Oh, yeah. And they live in Ferguson?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anything else?
I hate to bring this up, but, you know, I'm a little concerned about the praise team and what's happening, especially with Brian. You know, we've got a situation where we anointed him with the title, and all of a sudden, you know, we're hearing stories about going to Vegas, and it's not a good thing for, I think, the church as a whole. You don't know what's going to come out of his mouth, and I know we don't want to hurt him in any way, shape, or form, but I think we need to keep him on the praise team. That's fine, but you know, he's wanted to preach up there, and I think that's an issue.
I think him, I kind of smiled a lot about him talking about going to Vegas, because he has no idea what all that, yeah. In fact, I told my son yesterday, I said, I bet you've never been to a church where the worship leader talked about going to Vegas, you know, but he's, you got to realize where he's coming from, and that was just a thrill for him to go on a trip. And, you know, going to Vegas, you know, he didn't gamble there. He said he did $20, that was it. I guess the thing I was worried about is just him being so poor and doing it.
Yeah, I'm scratching my head, but I know it was a birthday celebration for Nene, but I'm not sure how they swung it. So.
Yeah, yeah. But the part is him being up there and then talking about going to Vegas, Sin City. I just thought it was just kind of cute, him talking about that. He had no idea of about the church etiquette or something like that. So,
but it's almost every time he's up there now, where he feels like he's got to, you know, say something. Like I said, we're trying to bring people in, and I just feel like it's a situation where we need to control that more.
So I think that we don't really need to control it, probably, but more of discipling them. And because I think in my mind, the olden days of a song leader that is just there moving his arms back and forth and there's no person there. We let whoever go up there, they lead their songs, and we don't know them, we don't have any relationship, but by them being up there, having personality, so Carrie and Brian and Chris, and we hear them and we get to hear their testimony, and we know that not everybody is perfect, just like the rest of us. And so I think that it's a powerful piece that we hear more than just the preacher. But we have to be, I think, attentive to discipleship. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think we're open to letting people do whatever, almost. But we've left off that discipleship piece that, and maybe we don't know how to do it, or we don't want to get too much as ICOC kind of discipleship. But we probably need to have more of it. And that's where I think that, I mean, I know Dave has lots of conversations with Brian and Michael and all of them, and we have lots of conversations with them and Steve, with the kids at least. But it's hard to send it across sometimes because of how distant we are as people. Mm-hmm. And so, because I think it could be really powerful just by having people up there. But I agree that talking about Vegas is probably not the best thing to do on stage, but I missed it. So he told me about this story. I mean, me and him had talked earlier, and he had told me about how relaxing it was, how he was able to finally just be able to let down his guard a little bit to be able to breathe.
Yeah.
Because it's with having two special needs kids and 24/7 either working or being with them, it's just a hard time.
Well, I get it, but at the same time, when you don't show up for practice and you walk in late and you're not there, and you know, it's
no, I agree that there are some pieces of praise team that need to be refined, and that's one of the key things of responsibility. And if you're taking the praise team leadership, then you need to be somebody that not only are you at the practice, but you're trying to encourage everybody else to be at that practice, because it's looking bad on you if the praise team doesn't practice.
No, he's got transportation problems.
No, definitely.
And that's an issue.
Had a good conversation with Jim Patterson and him about which vehicles worth repairing and how to go about it and stuff. And so that was nice for Jim to plug in. And
he told me he was getting with him to talk about some of that.
Yeah.
But they probably wouldn't do anything during the holidays. It'll be after the holidays when they get things straightened out with whatever transportation.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why that is, but trip to Vegas puts a wrench in the works of doing some other things, I guess. So, yeah.
But boy, he's grown a lot in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Man. But every couple months when he's up there, I'll take a picture of him and send it to Kellyanne and Chris Hale, just to let them know this guy you invested in, he's doing well.
What do you guys think of Jeff's idea of finding some way to disciple or encourage Bryant or strengthen him?
He and I have been planning to get, you know, he only has one day off on Thursdays.
Uh-huh.
We've been planning to do that for a long time, and I wanted to get it regularly with him. We just haven't been able to do that yet. So I really want to do that with him. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you're saying is a needed and a good idea, but I just don't know how do we effectuate that.
Yeah.
And so maybe if you can work on it, and it's got to be somebody that he knows and trusts, and it's got to be 90% love and encouragement. And you know, by the way, here's some things to work on.
So I'll pursue it even more. We talked about it Sunday, get together. I'm trying to, you know, I have Jordan and Zach. It's hard to have conversations with them. I told them I'm making the rule starting in January, no phones.
Well, I mean, Zach, I had only Zach, and so he answered my questions and talked to me. He was close enough where I could hear him.
Yeah, that's my problem. I can't hear him.
But because he was sitting directly from me, so I could hear everything he said this time, because usually he's in the very back or on the other side.
Yeah.
But they're just quick answers,
and
it's like I have to think through how many 20 questions, I guess, and write them all down, put them in my mind so that I don't have to look down.
Yeah, I've decided starting January I want to put together, and anybody wants to give me some input, life skills that they need to learn, and kind of Christian life skills.
Yeah.
And just like, I don't need this, but, you know, and as you know, it's a lot of miles to pick them up. You pick them up, and they don't say thank you. Again, I don't need it. Jordan said it to me one time.
Yeah, Jordan has a couple of times.
Just one time with me.
Yeah.
And they just need to learn some of those things. And they don't learn it at home. And so I'm just trying to figure out what would be some ways to effectively do it. Because we have car time, and that's a that can be some pretty good time together if I can hear what they say. But just, yeah, if you have any ideas or direct me to something with, for some life skills types of, just simple life skills stuff.
Yeah, and one of the things, Nathan and I have had several conversations about it, and I think, so Dan, generally you are the one that contacts them about picking them up, right? And that's that big conversation thing that we've had with the youth group. It's like, so we don't know if they need to come or not, or if they're planning to come.
Yeah.
And so once I call them or tell them something, by that point it's already, it's not, are you coming or not? It's like, I'm having to come get you.
Yeah.
Because you're just going to say yes at that point.
Yeah.
And that's where it's not the, because I mean, generally I think of it a lot that then Bantha was always upset. They need to ask.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, they don't ask, and it's because they're not used to that.
Right.
It's something that's missing. It's just like, you think about the joy bus of the olden days, that the joy bus always just went, made the circle.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you got on, you got on. You didn't get on, you didn't.
Yeah.
But, and that's sort of what this is, that we call and tell them, hey, we're coming or we're not coming. And
yeah, the routine on is Saturday afternoon, I'll text everybody and make sure they're coming and repeat the standard pickup time.
Yeah.
But like if Torah's not coming, that kind of changes the time for everybody. So touching base. And the cannons are close to having a van, so they can be dropped off of that. And so that'll be different.
Off of the Sunday, off the Wednesdays, though, it'll still be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, depending on Michael's work schedule, you know, he can shuttle him some and things, depending.
That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do get thank yous from Jordan more often than not for the Sunday rides.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not offended. I don't need it. I just want them to learn to do that stuff.
Yeah, it'll pay off later in life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else? Andrew, would you mind
praying? What's Don and Steve doing tonight?
Don's got some kind of stomach bug. Just came on late this afternoon.
Okay.
He was bummed this is his last meeting.
Yeah. So. Steve said he was burning the candle at both ends today and just didn't have enough.
Okay.
How's he doing?
I texted him and I was like, you know, I tried to ask him without asking him. And, you know, he just said, I'm doing okay, just tired. So it just wore out. So.
It sounded like he wasn't having any, you know, no symptoms from it, at least, other than maybe some fatigue.
Yeah.
And then Melinda Worthy, too, after her father passed.
Was that a surprise? I hadn't heard anything.
I didn't know that she, they, I mean, I've, we have a pretty good relationship with them, and I don't remember her ever saying that.
Because he had to be pretty young.
Yeah. I saw a picture of when they got married. He seemed like he was
He's probably older guy. 70-ish.
Okay.
Maybe young 70.
Yeah.
Well, he was in the hospital.
Well, I mean, it's been five
last week, though.
Was he?
Didn't he? Wasn't he? Because she was. He was in the hospital the same time their daughter had her surgery.
Maddie had her surgery. I didn't know that, so I didn't ever catch that.
Okay.
Because we talked to her after, because she was here last Sunday.
It was pneumonia. He was originally in there for, and so. But yeah, because I remember someone mentioning that, because I had reached out. I'm blanking on his name.
Jonathan.
See if they were, how they were doing, let them know I was praying for them. And, but, because someone was saying how, that she's going to be stressed with everything, with both hospital visits.
Well,
the same
she
week.
Was sick the week before, so the 2 weeks before that, Melinda had been sick so much that she couldn't even get out of the church and work and everything else. And so then she, and then the daughter had her surgery, so she got to be there at least. So she got better. And they were both at church last Sunday, and then this happened. So. But she was still somewhat congested and not lying.
And we have Lisa Schock, Steve and Lisa. I mentioned them Sunday morning. They're pretty regular when they're in town. They travel a lot. He comes to our huddle group on Thursdays. He was converted in the ICOC. He and his wife divorced. I think they kind of kind of disfellowshipped him. They were pretty strict. So then Lisa, who he married, you know, he didn't know her. I mean, he knew her from, they went to high school together up in Iowa, but there was nothing there, you know, when he divorced his wife. And then he went to a high school reunion and they met. And, she's a really nice lady. She used to go to a Methodist church, I think, up there at Lindbergh in 40. But she's been coming with him. He's a pretty black and white guy, you know, ICOC. Really good, really nice guy. He sends us scriptures every day in our breakfast huddle group while he's down at MD Anderson. And he sent us a picture of his ticket and it was a warning. He told us a story about the Texas police officer heard what they were doing and just stopped and had a prayer with them. That was awesome. I told my wife, only in Texas.
Yeah.
So that might have been an angel because mostly in Texas, they don't write tickets. I mean, very rarely.
Yeah.
People are driving 90 miles an hour on the outside curbs. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
that's true. Yeah. Yeah. And so last week, Byron Fike, who lives in Houston, he was doing a prayer retreat, and so he's going to contact them this week while they're there. So,
what kind of cancer is she?
I don't know. It first this didn't sound like it was too serious, but then all of a sudden they're going to MD Anderson.
Yeah, it's like
so. So,
who is that we're talking about?
Lisa Schock. Steve Schock, who he's about 6'5", gray hair. They sit over right behind us on the right side as you're looking up at the
board. Okay. Thank you.
And we've got, it's kind of cool. Our huddle group has become a prodigal huddle group. We have Steve, who kind of quit going to church, and you got Tom Jones, that is Amanda Lowe's dad.
Yeah.
And then we've got Terry Jones, who's not been going to church, and he started coming about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yes.
And they've just really added a lot to the group. It's been, I was telling Earnhardt, or Kreider, I said, this group has gotten pretty rich with all the prodigals coming in.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Andrew, do you want to pray for all that?
Absolutely.
Let's pray.
Father, we come to you now. It's just some names of some of the flock that have been on our hearts recently. There's so many others that from sickness to grief that we know are struggling and some that we don't know are struggling that we just pray your hand would be on. But for those that are on our hearts, we pray for Mary Ellen, for Eric, for Melinda and her family and the loss of her dad, for Don and Steve, for Steve and Lisa, for time with Zachary and Jordan, for Bryant, and Lord, each of these situations are different, whether it's the grief of losing a loved one or trying to disciple those at our church or teenagers in the youth group. Lord, I just pray that you would guide us with love and wisdom.
Yes.
And give us the courage to have those harder conversations as ultimately, we are trying to lead this church and this flock to know you.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, we give a special praise just for the pancake breakfast, for all the many faces, new and old alike. And we just thank you that we can give the glory to you. Mm-hmm. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Brett, one other thing. So on Sunday, I don't know, Brett, we chatted about it, I thought, maybe not. So the mother of Angela, so she's an African-American lady that has three kids. So she had come down to camp with us for family camp last year. So her and her mom came to church with her this week. And that caused a little bit of a seam. I don't know if you guys heard it or saw it.
Heard about it.
Yeah. And so basically what happened is that she had ate breakfast. And it was interesting because I was the last one leaving. So she was still sitting there, and I went over there and chatted with her a little bit. And she's like, yeah, I just need a break from them, which I thought was odd to begin with. But so come to find out, then later Carly comes in to get Steve to have him come out and help. So I just jumped up and went out there to see what was going on because I heard what she was saying, and I'm like, I know who that is. So I went out there, and so she was getting riled up. Whitney was talking to her, so that was really good. So Whitney reached out, was there, and could talk with her some, and then I was over there too. But she was really defensive. She was, and what she told us is that she really needed to go to the hospital or to the doctor and get her medicine fixed. She had went to church, so they're Seventh-day Adventist, her and Angela. Angela has a tendency to come visit, so she was here for VBS, she was here for the camp, she was, but their family is Adventist, so she was at church yesterday, and the church sent her home. They called Angela and had her come pick her up. So that's probably the reason why she was with Angela yesterday, because of that. But they hadn't taken her to the doctor yet or to the hospital. But she was very vocal, and we got her to calm down some. And then at one point, she's like, I need to give these Kleenexes to Grace, which is the oldest of the kids. And I was not going to tell her where they were at because I didn't want them to disturb the class or want her to disturb class. Carly walked by, and she followed her up. And so she did come, and she did get Grace out of class, and which is okay, I think. Everything went fine for there. And then she went and got Angela, and she's like, I'm ready to go, and they left. But it was just just so that we're aware, if anybody says anything, we all know that that's what was going on. There was nobody in danger at any point, nothing that we needed to keep her from doing something. My hope was to get Susan Blaine, but I didn't see her. So Susan had left at one point and came, and she must have come back in between. I missed her. But because really she would have been the person, and I went and talked to her afterwards about it, but they had already left by that point. So, but.
Yeah, and I just need to, and I talked a little bit to the people on the safety team that day. So I was helping out, and I'm walking in the gym, getting all the kids out of it, you know? So every 5 minutes I'm walking in the gym, and I walk in there and she goes, are you keeping an eye on me? I can be in here. Like, hey, I'm just making sure, you know, the kids aren't running around. And she's just real defensive. And it's like, so I just went back and I told Ron, I said, you know, just watch her. She's on the camera. Just make sure she's okay. So I just gave her space.
And she got bothered by them later. Yeah. So somebody, I don't know, it may have been Ron, it may have been Rick.
Ron and Rick were there. And I just said, you know, just give her space. But
one of them
just had, keep her away.
One of them had said something to her.
Yeah.
And she got really bothered by that. So she was aware of that going on.
Yeah.
But I never talked to her about safety and why we were doing it.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, but she was not rational. And, you know, I just told those guys, you know, keep your eye on her, keep her on the cameras, and, you know, just make sure she doesn't wander, you know, into the auditorium or do anything weird. So, but yeah, just as a safety team, we just need to have better procedures. You know, we've got some documented, but, you know, at what point do we step in and just say, you know, if she's in the gym, nobody will go in the gym, or just, you know, keep her out of the auditorium and you know, keep her away from the kids' classes, those kinds of things.
Yeah, and really figuring out we need to really have a better policy of what to do in situations. So like in that one, we need to have either we get CAS, we get like a medical scenario, because that was a medical scenario, really, a mental health scenario. And so we need to figure out who the mental health professionals are.
Yeah, we got that list.
We just have to make sure that we get that out. And I don't know, Susan was probably the best one to have gotten, or...
Susan Autry?
No, Susan Blaine.
Oh, okay. Got for his mental, yeah.
Yeah. And so...
Yeah.
But because I was there having to talk to her, I couldn't walk away and go find somebody. And so that's where I did look through to see if I could see her, but I didn't really want to leave her there because then she's coming right after me.
Yeah.
And so then that disrupts everything else. So it's trying to keep her there, and then that was...
Yeah. So I'll work on that.
She had a moment with the friends, too, where she freaked out that the bathroom doors were locked.
Yeah, she
over
just
by the kitchen.
She was having issues in a lot of ways.
Because
someone was in there, and then she freaked out. Yeah. And then when Bailey came out with her daughter, she was like, well, send your daughter away so I can talk to you. And she was like, yeah. No, but I'll put her around the corner and talk to you.
Yeah.
Bailey wasn't, I mean, worried, yeah. But...
Yeah. Who's Bailey?
The visitors who's, who
oh, yeah.
we helped. Okay. So.
How did Whitney or the Cannons get to church, do you know?
They came on, I assume, the bus. Was there not a bus running?
Us and the Kelbleys were both out of town, and we had let them know we didn't have a substitute driver. And I thought Brian asked us sometimes because he doesn't have transportation.
Yeah.
I think he had alternatives.
Yeah, Brian came with Kaylin.
Somebody else picked
up.
And
the family was brought by Devin, and then Devin took them all home.
Okay.
But I don't know how Jordan got here. So Jordan, Michael, and them all got here about the same time.
Okay.
So, but Michael wasn't here. So it was only Whitney, Nene's mom. So does Nene's, I wonder if Nene's mom has a car.
No. She's been staying with Michael more often than
Nene's.
Bryant.
Yeah, so I think she moved over there when they went to Las Vegas. It was that weekend, I think. But I don't know. And I haven't seen Ann. So I don't know if Ann's not there or not.
She's been at the Cannons. But
yeah.
So maybe she was upstairs. She just wasn't in the room with... So only Nene's mom was in there whenever Zach, when I picked up Zach a while ago.
Okay. All right, well, let's...
So that's just something to be aware of.
Yeah.
And so we just have to keep an eye on...
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
maybe there's another driver I can take.
Yeah,
I know.
And I guess, you know, people on a positive note is Michelle's Tuesday morning class is going very well. And so, you know, tomorrow they're having a potluck and it's just, you know, like kind of consistently getting, you know, 10, 12 ladies. And it's in the, she said the conversation is getting deeper. And so that's what's really important is they're really sharing life together. So that's good. I want to check off a couple of these real quick because I'm not sure when Eric's coming in. So one is... And I propose this last is, I propose that we move the chair to monthly instead of every two months, just keep it on a single month. And I just think that would be easier and your rotation will come around quicker. So,
I like having it, we change it to 2 months because then you've got a little bit of consistency. Once you kind of get, you figure out how to lead, then it's somebody else's turn. That was kind of one of the reasons we...
Well, we did that right when we were in the thick of some, you know, the whole ministry change thing.
Well, even now it's still...
Right, and so I'm just asking, to me it seems better, and I don't know what the rest of the group says. It's just, you know, to wait a year and plus, you know, 2 months, that's a lot, so I just didn't know. To me it just seems better to go back to the monthly, but I just want to throw that out.
I kind of like that you do it 2 months and you don't have to do it again for a year.
Yeah.
I'm pretty flexible. And so don't really have a strong opinion.
Okay.
So.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Brad?
Flexible, whatever you want.
What about you guys?
I've never done it.
Well, it's not a matter if you've done it.
Yeah,
it
doesn't. I mean, I don't have enough experience to know if it how much of a difference
it
is.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
Both sides are, it really comes down to preference of.
So we'll keep it on 2 months.
We don't have to because of me.
Well, we can table it again. I think Dave's next, right? Is that correct?
Yeah,
I believe that's right.
Yeah.
Right, and so maybe you'll get into this 2 month thing and you'll say, you know, it's better to do it a month.
Cause, we just do 1 minute at a time.
Because you know, for me, for the first month, I am on it. You know, I'll spend a couple hours on this thing just for the agenda. And then, you know, later on, it's like, you know, there's other things that get in my way. And I do think we need to give this the time and attention it needs. And so, you know, if you're feeling you're not doing that when this is your third or fourth elder meeting, then maybe we need to go monthly.
You also have November, December.
Yes, true. Those are crazy months.
Yeah.
December is a hard second month.
That's right. Yeah. So we'll table that, but take a look at it.
For me, I'm flexible.
Okay.
I kind of like the reasons we did it that way.
Right.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Suggestion I was going to make would be, historically here, sometimes if there's things that have to be made quick decisions, we would have a standing meeting. You didn't get to sit down.
Okay.
And it was like, you know, we got to make a decision here quickly, and, you know, this is not anything unusual, but sometimes timing is always the problem. And I think perhaps having some kind of guidelines on what can, what those things are. You know, when somebody's got to have something done to do something else, and that sort of thing.
I very much like that idea. So in the book we're reading, Smells Like Sheet, and you know, in the other books, it, you know, the what I don't want is the church or the eldership to be run like a business. But what is it, what does that mean? You know, businesses have spent 200 years being efficient and having meetings, and you know, they know what to get to talk about. They know how not to dilly dally, and kind of like you're saying, it's like some things.
Rules and orders really work.
Right, there. There are matters of efficiency and effectiveness that businesses have spent 200 years doing for a particular reason. And so I don't think we should be a for-profit institution, but I think there is a great deal that can be transferred over from what we learn in business into these types of settings and decision meetings. And one of them is meetings. It's like everybody should come prepared. You know, we shouldn't be... It shouldn't be a stream of consciousness. So, you know, let me think about this, you know, and then, you know, it should be a standing meeting. We're going to talk about one thing and we're going to be focused. And so anyway, I don't have a problem with that.
Give an example when that would have worked just in the last year.
In the last year.
I know we did a Zoom, was kind of a standing, I forget what we even did with the Zoom, but we had to meet for something. Right. Oh, it was about the... Eric.
Yeah, to me, there's several where, like when we're looking at candidates, all of us should have looked at all of the resumes, watched all the Zooms. We should have been in here. That should have been a standing meeting. It's like, you know, we shouldn't change each other's mind. We should be able to influence each other. Oh, I didn't think of that. I didn't think of that. But we should have come in here. Oh, I would have. I've read everything down. And if you didn't write it down, you had it in your head. Those, to me, would have been good standing meetings or examples of, you know, if you spent more than 10 minutes on this, then you didn't come prepared or we weren't ready for some of those discussions. And that's, in my mind, some things where I think that would
be good.
I think
sometimes it's a healthy discussion. Like when you're something important, like with staff and, you know, interviewing people and talking about different
right.
people, trying to get it all done in 10 minutes is...
No, it's going to take 2 hours. So two hours before that meeting, you've spent time praying about
but
it.
But when we meet... There's a dynamic of us meeting.
Well, and I understand that, and I think there's a better way to do that. Yeah, we all go around the horn and give our thoughts, and it's like, yeah, but that should not be the time when we start coming up with our thoughts. You know, that
absolutely,
and putting
yeah,
it together.
Don't start coming up with your thoughts there, right. But you share your thoughts, and then some others might come up.
Yeah,
then I think it's valuable to have that discussion
right.
with everyone.
Yeah.
The idea is not to have them, but there's going to be things that happen because of the timing that we need a quick decision.
Right.
And you know, I'm not saying let's have these all the time, but to have that option to
right.
say, okay, we need a quorum to be able to make a decision because we've got to make it by this date because of whatever is happening.
Well, and I also think, and I do this when I put the agenda together, you know, I pencil in timelines, and I put a great deal of thought into those timelines. And it's like, when I say 15 minutes, that should take 15 minutes. And it's like you're saying, that's a standing item, you know, just, you know, we should have thought about it and that should go pretty quick. You know, what are we going to do here kind of a thing. So yeah, I'm all for that.
I just think whoever's, you know, got that responsibility should maybe have a little, you know, option to use that, not constantly, but, you know.
Right.
No, it's an option. We kind of do that on Sunday mornings when we're all together anyway.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Okay.
Just a thought.
Speaking of meetings, the third Monday is Martin Luther King birthday holiday. And so I can still make that for an elders meeting. Does that create a difficulty for anybody? That being a holiday?
I'm off that day.
Me too, me too, Steve. Coincidence.
You say you're a short timer now, aren't you? Is that holding up?
Yeah, last Tuesday was my last day,
I'm
officially unemployed. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, yeah.
Technically, he's not retired yet. He's
unemployed.
Taking unemployment.
That's right. I'm on the government dole. I'm on.
I've done it at CFS. He's getting unemployment for all of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know if that works for you. Sure. Okay, because that's
possible. What is the date of it?
Martin Luther.
19th.
Yeah.
19th.
January 19th.
Okay. So another one is, and I don't know if you were here, Steve, when we talked about it, just youth in the building is we think that it would be good if you be the bad guy and not Nathan, and not necessarily a bad guy, but just you know, hey, guys, guidelines here, you know, don't go in this room and, you know, just make sure you're not running around and, you know, treat this building with respect and, you know, those kinds of things. So
now, who are the ones that have been a problem?
I wouldn't say a problem. I mean, nothing was damaged. I mean, things were knocked down and disturbed, but it's, I think all of them get pack mentality. You know, you get three or four of them together.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter which three or four. Yeah. And you know, without a chaperone, they're...
There's a lot more running in the building than there used to be.
Right.
Well, the couple of middle school boys are just really hard to control.
Yeah. Right.
It's really... probably, and the parents.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the parents' issue.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But they're hard. It's really tough with, especially one.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. And Nathan and I talk about it. He's handling it very well and very patiently.
He's very, very patient. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's his goal is to connect with him on a deeper level. Yeah. And he's doing a pretty good job. Where I'm like, because I'm in there on Wednesday, I'm like, dude, we need to move those guys out, and I'll take them in one room, just me and them.
And I think it's not a bad idea to remind them. We have got cameras all over this church, and just FYI, you know, you're not, you know, you break something, we're going to know about it. And
were they like up in the, were they in the gym, or were they up?
Well,
here?
They get, you know, in the axe room, and we want to keep them out of that. And there was some of the boards that kind of got jostled and knocked around a little bit, and so.
Yeah, and so it happened, the main thing happened during the Christmas decorating time.
Okay.
And so that's when Brett had seen it all on the cameras, and they were in there.
Okay.
And then on Wednesday, I grabbed two of them before they, as they were taking off up here.
Oh.
And so,
yeah.
Because we were sitting there. So all of our eyes sort of went that direction as we saw them both magically disappear up the stairs. And it's like, okay. So.
They like to play hide and seek a lot.
Yeah, it's a different kind of hide and seek.
So anyway, just, you know, we'll just try to monitor that. And I think, again, Nathan shouldn't be the bad cop, you know. Yeah.
Well, but there is a difference. I mean, I actually talked to him after our meeting last time and just kind of gave him a reminder of, hey, you got kids that are, you know, my kids are new to the group and stuff. So there are kids that are going to be, haven't been told where you can and can't go, what you can and can't do. So I said, just remember, I said, that's the thing to just, every so often, just keep saying, hey, remember, no closet. I said, you know, I got so used to it, I was like, hey, no closets, no bathrooms, no baptistry. You know, it was just, I knew those were the three I said everywhere, over and over, so that no one went in a room I didn't need them into. And then I also reminded Nathan that part of his job as youth minister is to double check everything afterwards.
And they spend a lot of time playing basketball, which is fine when nobody's in there.
Right.
Like Milo got a
volleyball.
And I told him, get back in there during the pancake breakfast. And so he did that. So
Good.
But yeah, if they have a problem and I'm here, just you can text me and I can see what I can do.
Yeah. And I'm not afraid of giving them the stink eye, too. And so I try to say, hey, you know, no running, you know, put the ball away, that kind of stuff. And so I think.
Actually, just putting those basketball things up on Sunday morning so that they can't.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
And I know that generally, if I'm thinking enough ahead, I make sure that Nathan takes the basketball things out of the canteen.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the thing. So
the ball holder?
Yeah, the ball holder is in the canteen. So if they have any option, they're going to go in there and grab it.
Yeah.
And so it's really getting it out of there, getting it into the basketball area where it's supposed to be in the little closet. But it just makes it where they have to pull it out of there.
So. Okay. Moving on to the next one, and this may take, you know, Eric's going to be here in a little bit, but just Jeff's commissioning. So, Andrew, you've got the lead on that. I don't know if we've got an elder assigned to pray.
No. I was going to talk to Dave tonight and see. We could just tie it in at the end where we sing right after the sermon, go into the commissioning, and then let your benediction prayer at the end kind of sum all of it up together.
Okay. I think that would make sense as long as there aren't loose end announcements at that time. That would kind of not fit that flow, I think. If that sometimes those happen first at the opening.
Yeah, push them up to the front.
For whatever needs to be announced.
I can make sure Kaylin kind of knows that we need a little heavy-handed announcements to be
in the front.
In the front.
Because hard to, you know.
That's a good idea.
And yeah, this week it's only really
it's the candlelight service.
Candlelight service is the only thing really that's really the big front announcement. Right. And you could even say that at the very, very end, even.
Okay.
So you guys all at the candlelight service or something and as you're walking away.
Or I think, do the shepherd's prayer, just the prayer request at the beginning, too, so that you just focus on the commission at that point.
And we were going to have the shepherds and the elderly couples come stand up with the McLaws, right? Okay, I think that's a good idea. Okay, great.
Okay.
And then that brings us to the calendar, which you've got. And again, I think, if I remember right, you were redoing this. One of the goals was to take out some things that we can put in later, but you did not want to force a lot of activity in the calendar that, you know, we could always add stuff, but we didn't want to force anything.
So this is the in-office calendar that I didn't make copies for everyone of all the different things, CFS, Camp Neotes, the youth group stuff, but... This was more of the what you have is the solid, like these are the church-wide, everyone kind of things for the most part, things that we wanted people to know about. And with a couple exceptions of those that move around just enough that we left them off, we have the quarterly one that's you've probably seen now and it's on the TV as well, and that will just keep rotating each month of moving up that way. So hopefully... The ones you see on the quarterly ones are the ones that are starting to get announced that are need to know but for sure by that point, but these are the ones we want to those don't change. Get them on your calendar now before you make any of your future plans.
Do we have the worship in the park reserved?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The pancake breakfast, we used to have it a week later, closer to the holidays. And we changed it for some reason. I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was with
it. Was it the next gen Christmas that moved it?
Yeah.
No, not necessarily.
Are you saying you prefer it to be later? Are you just making a comment or are you asking it to be changed?
No, I'm asking a comment. Oh, I'm making a comment wondering. It seems like it would be better, like instead of the 13th a little early, having it the 20th. And that at that time, many people are thinking Christmas. But I don't remember why we made it a week earlier.
So Eric is here. Shall I tell him to come up or wait a little bit?
Yeah.
Do you want to clean up anything else first?
Not that I'm aware of anybody else got anything to clean up. I'm for having him come up.
Let's get him up here.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's just my only.
Okay.
Not even a suggestion.
No,
it's just that. Is that next gen?
We did
that
after New Year's one
year.
Yeah.
The pancake breakfast? Oh, really?
Yeah, that was probably before the merger,
wasn't it? Straight after.
Mm. I think it was.
It just really locked for Devin.
They get paid to do this. So, I mean, that's maybe the reason.
Good Friday service. Is that new? I don't remember.
Yes.
Yeah, that's new. Good Friday service.
Yeah, that's something new that Andrew has planned.
Okay.
Yeah, that's...
New preacher, new Good Friday service.
Yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned the Blue Christmas.
Yeah.
And the staff all liked the idea enough that they suggested we actually try it next year. So that's...
What is that?
It's a time of celebrating Christmas, but opening up to the grief. For many, this could be whether it's your first or your 30th year without a loved one, that there's a time and place to be able to say
blue is sad.
Can still be sad. So.
There's a church across.
Bible has a lot to say about Christmas that's in Matthew that we kind of just gloss over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's a church in Manchester that is doing it. So, the other Walmart we could have went to. The one right next to it, they have. I saw it, was driving by last night and saw it, Blue Christmas. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's like popped up in so many things this last couple of months. For something I've never heard of, I keep hearing about it.
I call you.
I got this terrible disease called retirement. I started getting congestion, getting a cold yesterday, so don't want to spread it with everybody.
All right.
And Walker was wearing one today, too, I saw on the cameras. Is
that, I think
just
that was
for
more caution, okay. Cautionary versus necessity.
Okay. Well, hello, Eric.
Hello. So, has anything changed since I last talked with Brad and Dave, or like any new information? I kind of some questions to go over, but certainly want to listen if something's different than we talked about before.
I don't know.
No, I think our acknowledgement that, like you pointed out in an email, this could have been handled differently.
Yeah.
And so, an acknowledgement of that, yeah. Not still not sure what that was. That's not an obvious plan B that we should have done, but that acknowledgement has, I think, been part of it. And then where we go from here is still pretty open at this stage. So.
Okay. So my questions, were you guys in agreement that I should join the eldership? Was that clear? Was that not clear?
Well, it was a eldership decision as a group.
Right.
Are you asking if it was unanimous?
No. Okay. No, it just was it agreed upon by the group. Okay.
Yeah. And I guess to clarify, it was we all felt comfortable you sitting in. Because usually there's a time, you know, you sit in here and it's it's like, you know, and we've had people sit in here and it you know, it didn't work out, but yes, we felt it was unanimous. Yes.
And was everybody in, not unanimous, but in agreement that the divorce was not an issue for you guys?
We made also a decision as a group that we thought that is referring to a one-woman man and not never having experienced a divorce. But we also acknowledged that's a stretch for some in the body, and we were going to need to do some things to make sure the body was ready. Kind of like when we started moving toward instrumental music, a decision was made that it was okay, but not that the body was ready for it. So a lot of things happened. And I think that's a good way to characterize that issue. As we looked. And we kind of thought that eldership training, a few weeks, was going to be away. And that really didn't, I don't think that moved the needle for anybody, you know, the way we did that. And so the realization that, okay, more work needs to be done on that, it appears from the feedback.
Okay. So was everybody in agreement to decline the offer or to rescind the offer to join?
Yes. Again, I'm doing all the talking here, guys, so jump in. I'm just... yes, when we digested the feedback that we got, and, okay, how do we go from here? And we weighed it heavily that it was better to do something before you got started down the path if a change needed to be made than to kick that can down the road. And so we made a decision. Then we weighed that feedback heavily, and the group did decide, okay, let's unwind this and go from there.
Yeah.
And that was rather... I feel like that's where there was a fork in the road that could have been handled differently.
Yeah, I think
digesting that, what does that mean going forward? Do we need to talk to more people? But that was a group decision at the time. It's like, okay, we didn't want this to be divisive. We get divisive feedback, and the group made a decision.
Yeah, and I think that it's one of the things that we think about a lot of times of making decisions. We tend to, I know the eldership has been known as being very slow at making decisions. It's sort of interesting that we followed the opposite tradition of making a decision really fast. And that was the thing that was sort of strange, at least for me, being around the group for a little while. It was a quick decision made. And that's where I think your letter made us think a little bit differently. Just to think maybe we should have breathed a little bit, taken another breath before we made the decision. And so.
Okay. Yeah, because it put Liz and I in this weird space. Because she's obviously very loyal to me. And she has said, whatever you decide, I'm with you. If it's leaving the church, I'll go with you. And I said, I appreciate that. It just put us in a really weird headspace to be invited again and disinvited again. Was frustrating because it had already been announced. And so what was I then supposed to tell people? That I don't want to do it, which wouldn't be true. If I was told that I was disinclined or disinvited yet again, that would also cause dissension. So it looks like there's dissension either way. And you picked one way for dissension. And I worry about that. Because I'm not just going to say, hey, I decided not to do it. Because I wouldn't be truthful. I would say I was not invited. And there are repercussions to that for like my small group, for Liz. And I'm not saying people would leave. I don't know what they would do. And I would never encourage anybody to leave McKnight. I make my decisions for my family. I love McKnight, I always have. I would never pout and ask people to leave. That's not what the church is about. I was frustrated that you didn't think through the repercussions because my wife is on staff, and what would that do to her? She was rightfully angry for me. And that's tough because now she's on staff. So it's not quite as easy to leave as we would like. My question is, if you decided the divorce issue was okay, and you decided that I should join to check out, right, however we want to phrase that, then I was sort of surprised that because two people came in and had problems with me, which I get, I'm not even against them having problems with me. I understand that there was just a quick decision to say, well, let's ask Eric to take a bullet instead of, hey, let's talk about this. Because I would certainly want to meet with Steve and Keaton to talk through the issue, not to change their mind, just to say, here's where I'm at. Because I think it's coming from possibly two areas. One is my divorce, and if that's the issue, I certainly am willing to have conversations with people to say, here's how I view Scripture. I am the husband of one wife. My wife would agree that I'm the husband of one wife. There's some ramifications if I'm the husband of zero or two, and it is a numbers game. It's zero, one, or two that I have to be the husband of. What does that actually mean? And I would love to have that conversation. So if it's that they have problems with me being divorced, let's move forward and have those conversations. But I don't know that two people should stop a process that you guys decided on, just as I would not stop a process that you guys decided on. When Steve Hopp was asked to be an elder years ago, I went to Mike Runcie at CFS. I wasn't at CFS at that time. But when I was at Rotolite and Steve was talking about being asked to be an elder, I was like, I don't even know what an elder does. And I went, well, that's not good. You kind of have to know what an elder is going to. So I went to Mike with my concerns, and they decided to install Steve. And I said, okay, with Ross. I made my concerns known about Ross. If you guys had said, we believe in Ross, he's going to be an elder, I would have said, okay. I'm going to give you my opinion, and then you guys do what you want. And I can make my decisions. I would have never left the church if Ross had been an elder. I think he'll be a good elder one day. I was just concerned about the timing. But if you guys had said he's going to be an elder, okay, I would have gone along with it. What I'm concerned about is that Keaton and Steve, two longtime McKnight members, are saying they're going to leave if I'm an elder. Shocked by that. Having a problem with me? I understand. Willing to leave a family they've committed their lives to and raised their children at? What's going on? So is it the divorce issue? I'd be willing to talk with them about that. It could be the other issue of my involvement in this church for a long time. You and I, we three discussed this. With Keaton, I think it's the Shelley thing, which Steve can tell you and vouch for me. I tried my best to not be a part of that. I had to be involved on the campsite
because she threatened to go to the board on me for things I did not do, for drama she created, including staying at camp crying, threatening to kill herself when she wasn't invited to be at camp. She hadn't done any of the things. We didn't know she was coming. She thought she was coming. That's weird to me. She caused more drama at camp than I've ever had any kid, adult or teen, ever cause at camp. And she wasn't at camp. The phone calls at night, ad nauseum, because she wanted us to change her daughter's baptism. Her daughter had decided a year ago with a friend of hers they were going to do it on Friday. But Shelly was on a float trip and wanted us to change the baptism. And I said, that's not my call. And so she was going to go to the board. She was threatening us. And I have a license to protect. And so I called Steve Jones right after camp, said, here's the deal. I want you to know about it in case there's ramifications. And there were. Other than the camp thing, I tried to stay out. Carrie and Mindy got involved with the girls because the girls were telling us of abuse. I'm a mandated reporter. I had to decide, do I need to make a phone call about this? Ultimately decided not. Told Carrie and Mindy, stop. Stop helping. It's getting worse. The more we try to help the girls, the worse it gets. And there are some things I believe about Shelly for that reason that I've been told not to share. So Keaton believes that I was probably the instigator of that, and I'd love to have that conversation with him. Steve Hopped, on the other hand, probably believes something about me with the Jeremy scandal that I was not involved in. I believe, that Jenny wrote a letter to the elders in favor of Jeremy. I did not know that she was not in favor of Nathan. A letter got leaked from Lane to Kim to Carrie. I didn't talk to Carrie for 3 months during that process because I wanted to remove myself from that friendship. So while I was hiring Nathan, I did not talk to Carrie. I tried to call Carl and say, hey, there's some things you misunderstand. Could we get coffee and work this out? He said no, and we haven't talked to this day. I made my peace. I led the search committee on that. I was not a part of what they think I was a part of. And I think that's part of Steve's issue, and I would love to talk to him about that. So it could be those two situations. It could be the divorce. You guys use language that they question my spirituality. I don't know if that's exactly my translation of what you said, but I think that's what you said on that Thursday morning. Or was it leadership, or was it both?
I don't remember the terminology
okay.
that we used.
I think there may have been some misunderstanding of your views. One statement was, I guess there were two statements. One is, you know, Eric might not believe in hell. And I think there's different ways to view that, and you and I have talked about that. And I think they took it a particular way that maybe neither you nor I understood it to be. So anyway, I think that was one of them. And I think the other is the statement of Eric believes parts of the Bible are stories. And so I think those were the...
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Parts of the Bible are stories. That yeah. is absolutely one.
And again, how they interpret that, and I think they took it to mean they're fables. You know, and that's not what... You know,
they
you
are
could
parables.
Read, right.
That is correct.
Yeah. So, yeah.
We all think that, correct? That there are stories in the Bible to tell a spiritual truth. Oh, okay.
Yeah, well,
I mean, nobody thinks the rich man of Lazarus was a true story, right? It was a parable.
Correct.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
I don't believe anymore in the ongoing torment of hell. I do believe in, I'm a nihilist, however you say
right.
that. Based on a book that I'd be willing to share with people, I think that my dad gave me, that's written by a very conservative Church of Christ preacher, and I think he's right on the money. So I believe if you are not of the light, soul goes out, you're done. Now, I'm assuming that's not a very fun process. But I don't believe in not hell. I believe in not an ongoing torment of a loving God that created people. I don't buy that anymore.
Right.
And I would be willing to have these conversations
yeah.
with them.
Is that the Fudge book?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read it and went, seems right to me.
Yeah.
And people that believe in a hell, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I actually have never been there. So
yeah.
if people believe in hell, that's not a bad belief.
Yeah. And
I just think differently.
It's, what's the book?
Hell, a Final Word by
Edward Fudge. Which is different than thinking that all people go to heaven. And again, I think not all people go to heaven. Right, and I think that there was some misinterpretation on what that meant that I don't think they got very deep into what your thought pattern was.
Well, yeah. I wasn't in the meeting, but it was unfortunate that that wasn't talked about with you by them, if that was a serious thing they had.
And I said it in my class on conflict, which I don't think they were a part of.
Yeah.
And I said, talk to me later about it. It's not what you think. I don't believe that everybody goes to heaven, but I didn't explain it further because I wasn't part of the class. Yeah. And so they probably heard it third hand from somebody that said, oh, Eric doesn't believe in heaven.
So I think that they had heard it from camp.
Like, I think camp. Spencer, was he at your week at camp?
He's been at some of my weeks at camp.
Yeah, so, I mean, so somewhere at camp that you had said it, and that's where it came from.
I'm assuming that's what it
that
was.
That could be too.
Yeah. And so then you get in a third hand, and that's just not good either.
Yeah. And what I said at camp was, not that I don't believe in it, I don't believe in an ongoing eternal punishment for God's creation. I believe if you are a person of the light, you go to the heaven. If you are a person of darkness, your soul is extinguished, and you are done. And I don't think that's very much fun. But so people hear all kinds of stuff at camp. Yeah. I told a parable of the good Muslim at camp instead of the good Samaritan. Talked about going to Arkansas, and there was a guy that was hijacked. He was Muslim, and he was on the side of the road, and a Harding van goes by. I made up the story, and I told them, this story is not true. I'm making up this story. And at least three people after class came and go, that really happened? I think I know the guy. I'm like, I said it wasn't true. So whatever I say often gets misquoted.
So I think we can elaborate a little further than Brad and I did. And I think more communication with Steve and Keaton would be healthy. But I if we made it sound like it's only those two, they verbalized to us, they came to us, we had a meeting. But their characterization was, these are guys that know the body well, have been here a very long time, that they felt the body wasn't ready for these reasons. And it included them. They, you know, that they weren't the only ones with these concerns. But that was the weightier part, was the body's not ready to embrace someone as an elder. Now, at the same time, they were very complimentary of you. And I think we pointed that out when we talked, that they, lots of respect, lots of compliments, lots of appreciation for all the roles you have played, and this distinction to eldership was a bit too far. And so divorce was one part. Character might be another word that could be used, but it's more about the things that you're citing, like the drama that encircles you at times.
It certainly
is. Yeah, and so you've acknowledged that. We've talked about that. And so that observation and, you know, such an individual in the eldership, they felt like more of the body than we had perceived were going to struggle. And so that was the weightier part, not two people who have a history or something. Wasn't what we heard. So
I don't want to know names, but do you know who the other people are? I don't want to know that. Because it's easy to say, hey, there's a lot of people. I don't, what does that mean? A lot of people.
Right. It's a little vague, and we have people we need to talk to, and we need to talk to those two guys about, well, who should that be, and flesh that out more, because we didn't, you know, have a pros and cons list of people for or against or anything like that.
Yeah, and
this
maybe,
characterization. And we weighed their experience with the body.
Some additional color, and I haven't shared this with you guys, but I talked to Steve the following Sunday. You know, I just said, hey, Steve, you know, I appreciate you and Keaton talking to the elders. You know, we want to hear, you know, before things get too far, you know, just want to get everybody's thoughts on things. And didn't say much beyond that, and Steve said, yeah, I was just concerned that, you know, I don't know who knows that Eric's divorced and, you know, what that would do when it came out. And that's all he said. And so to me, my takeaway is, you know, the other stuff is kind of ancillary, at least for Steve. It was like, you know, if people found out, you know, and you didn't tell anybody, and it, my response was, I never intend to put an elder up and say, here's all his sins, or here's his past, and they didn't do that with me, and thankfully so, and that just seems unfair. But anyway, just some color for the group and for you is when I talked to Steve, that's the only thing he brought up is, yeah, I just didn't think you guys knew about Eric being divorced and, you know, what that would do to the congregation if you told them.
I talk about it from the pulpit, just so
yeah.
Knows. I've yeah. mentioned it several times.
I know, so. I know.
Yeah,
if they don't know, it's because
yeah.
well,
they weren't there that
time. That's just it. We kind of have that read on things, too. And then Keaton and Steve are like, I don't think they're, you know, people are going to have an issue when they find out. And that was more pervasive than we thought. That was our read, too. It was just what you thought. And it's like, yeah. okay, well, there's more work to be done.
And then our job is to teach.
yeah.
I think that's what we have to do is to teach the stuff that we went through to come to the decision we came to. So. And again, back to, we're not asking you to be an elder. We're asking you to consider and go through the discerning process right now.
Right.
Yeah.
but you're sticking with the not asking me.
No, we're not there. We're not sticking to not. That's my understanding. I wasn't a part of that meeting, but.
Well, that's where it was left with Brad and Dave and I.
Yeah, correct. And I think that one of the things that our decision was to sort of reverse that, but not make it a yes or no. I think that's the way it came out. I think the last meeting that almost that we're going back, letting you know this is an issue. And we are wanting to think through it a little bit longer, pray through it, and then make sure that you're completely aware so that we don't make a decision sort of haphazardly. Because we don't want to lose you. We don't want to lose Keaton. We don't want to lose any of the families that are here. Because I think we're working towards a future that is brighter together than we are if we're sort of splitting it up into two different groups again. And that's, but it's a hard thing because we've now told you, hey, we're not accepting you. We've not told them anything really, but it's a hard position that we're sort of in.
Yeah, we've not talked with Matthew Bardwell or anything. It's kind of in limbo. And I think internally we're trying to think, you know, obviously we didn't do a good job in that 3-week class, you know, kind of talking through some of the points of the qualifications of an elder. And then, you know, we covered a lot of ground real quick. And so one of the things is, do we need to spend a few more weeks on this class? You know, what do we need to do? What are the next steps? And I don't know that we've come to any of those conclusions. But, yeah, we've not, as far as I'm aware, made any decisions, talked to anybody. So.
And we kind of put it all on hold. We wanted to wait till you came in to talk.
Sure,
before we
sure.
did anything.
So where do we stand and what's the path forward?
Are you willing to talk with Keaton and Steve?
Am I?
Yeah.
I'll have coffee with anybody.
I think or
I can do it individually.
Yeah,
we can
I
do
think
it here.
Be better to do it with some of us involved in that process.
Okay.
So I guess, Brad, my question is, if things go well with Stephen Keaton, I mean, do we still feel that others in the congregation are comfortable with this path forward? Because right now, my understanding was they kind of spoke for a group. And if we get them okay with it, does that, I mean, I don't know.
Well, nobody else has talked to us about it.
That okay. was, see, that was okay. a misunderstanding. When they talked in the meeting that I was a part of, and said others, I assumed you knew who the others were. Now that I know there are no others, my voice is, there are no others then, unless they're
unless
they come
forward
or
there are no
or
others.
I'm assuming their wives agree with them. So,
yeah, so,
Anne and
so I would
Kathy,
assume,
I'm assuming are
yeah,
with them.
So I would assume
so that might be the
so my assumption right is a little bit wider than that,
mine
but
too.
In that they both lead small groups. So my assumption is that their small groups that they've had an impact on probably have the same general conservative thought on that. But that gets into who that is, how many of those actually attend anymore, and that's, because they don't currently have a small group that is really functioning, either of them.
Yeah.
But they do have members that used to go to those small groups that still go here. But it's very few and far between, to a point, because they've aged out of church.
My question is if they're happy, are we comfortable moving forward if you know, or do we assume that there's some other unknown group, or that we need to still have a class on this, or what do we do?
I think part of our discussion with Steve and Keaton is to learn more of who do we need to approach individually, and I don't want them to tell us who that is in front of you, because we don't need, but meeting with them I think is very healthy. But if there is more that they're aware of that are struggling, let's just say with the
divorce
history, experience with divorce, then I'd like to know who that is, and we can approach them individually about where we're coming from.
And maybe
that's 3 people or 33 people, let's find that out. And
maybe have a class with them, just to go through with them what we've gone through.
If it's small groups, with their small group.
Yeah.
And so let's find out, is it family, is it small groups, or, and let them, because I think those folks deserve a little more, not to be surprised by anything, and not to leave them floundering with, well, how could they have made this decision? Let's explain it to them, where we're coming from.
But we need to know who it is, I think. We need to know who it is.
Correct.
And I think that's a thing. And if somebody wants to be anonymous, we don't deal with that. If they want to be anonymous, they don't exist.
And what, Dave, you're saying is this isn't Eric's monkey, right? This is our monkey to get with Steve and Keaton.
Correct.
Right. And okay.
Yeah, and maybe there would be a time where Eric will come in and meet with Steve and Keaton about
I love those guys. I'd be more than happy to have a conversation. And I think I do conflict really well for whatever reason. Maybe I've had a lot of practice at it. But based on that class I taught, I really do think I could have a very productive conversation. But I'll only do that at your direction. Otherwise, I'm going to approach them individually.
I feel like we have 2 issues. One is the divorce issue, and that's our thing. We need to deal with that. You don't need to deal with that one. The other part with some of the problems they have with you, that's more of a relational thing that... I think that can be approached differently, and just getting with them and talking with them, with maybe an elder or two with you.
Well, and I don't want to muddy the waters too much, but there's part of this where, what do we need to know to invite somebody to sit with us? So we're not asking Eric or whomever to be an elder, right? So, there's some things in his character that need to be sorted out over this period. And at the end of the period, like with Jeff, we're going to put him before the congregation and say, listen, this guy's been with us a year. The elders are comfortable with him. Let us know if you've got any issues. And so I don't know, when we had brought Jeff in, if we did all the dirty laundry and clean, or, sorted everything out, or if we say, okay, we're comfortable going forward and we can work through some of the other issues as we're working through, maybe Eric join us. And again, I'm just asking the questions. I don't know. But to me, I wouldn't want an unreasonable barrier of entry. I think we need to be confident in your character and your faith and things like that. But, can you pass muster with everybody, at day one? I don't know if that's a reasonable barrier. So I'm just throwing that out. So I don't know if we are expecting to dot every I and cross every T at this point.
Right. But I think we need to follow up on what's been shared with us.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And drill down a little further. And I think if we learn of more individuals who have been wounded, let's say, and are still struggling to get over that, and they feel you had a role to play in that, then we need to facilitate that healing, whatever that looks like. Those individuals. And if it's just a general characterization or something, we talk through why we want to invite Eric you know, but let's see how pervasive that is. Let's see what we need to look into it. If we were more deliberative at the beginning, you know, this is the process I think we would do, was to, right, okay, let's find out more than this general information, and let's try to get you together with Keaton and Steve more directly. I don't think they'll feel we threw them under the bus because we shared with you what they did, but I do think it would be healthy if it's more than just the three of you, if some subset or another, you know, meeting here.
So perhaps. How's that?
That feels better to me, so that those guys also feel supported. And,
right, but what is the sequence? Do we need to get with Keaton and Steve first before that conversation, or does it matter? Or
I'm not sure. I think we need to let them know where we are, give them an update, and that we are asking to meet with Eric and them, and let's flesh this out, because it's let's find out more what it is. So
maybe that's what it is. You have that meeting first with them, and that way
the elders and Steve and Keaton, or
him, and
with Eric,
you know Eric and them, and whether that's together or even one-on-one, because they each have their different issues with at least one or two elders. Because my thought is, if they're going to have something more to say, then afterwards this is going to come out. If they, you know, hopefully it's resolved there, and then you don't have to go into more, because they're like, no, we're good now. You know, we at least understand, and then you don't have to do any more digging into who are the others, because if it gets resolved there, then they're not going to have any more to talk about. It's if they go, hey, no, we still have some issues, it's like, okay, well, then you're going to have to give us some more information then on what do you actually mean by all this. But I do think, you know, again, like you said, the fact that, you know, Eric's just coming on, same as Matthew, to see what this is about. This is a training time. And so in my mind, like you said, whether it's character or stuff, we're going to see how we mesh as we go along. That's what this is for, which I think is a genius way of doing that. I think the one thing I want to make sure we get that figured out is, what I don't want Eric to do is do a year and then we go, oh, but the divorce is enough of a thing for the church that we're going to stop it now.
Right.
That's what I don't want to have happen.
Yeah. I think the divorce thing is not the issue. We've already made that decision. We just need to let some of the church people need to do some teaching.
When you say we, you're saying it's not an issue for we, the elders, this group.
The leaders of this church.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And we want to move forward with that, and we've studied it, and we don't think that the traditional interpretation is a correct interpretation.
Right. But, and I guess part of the discussion is, you know, you can discuss a lot of things and it be, you feel good about it scripturally. Like, we believe that we can use instruments. Mm-hmm. Does that mean we should force the use of instruments if people are going to leave? And that's the thing about this is, you know, which hills are we willing to die on? And you know, I'm just thinking theoretically, because there's some things that's like, you know, if the congregation's going to leave because we're playing musical instruments, let's not play musical instruments. It's, you know, it goes back to eating meat, right? It's, you know, so there's certain...
I think we use that a little too...
Well, I'm just...
We're talking about the weak brother.
So I am just saying that because we identify something as scripturally appropriate does not mean that we are in the right to force that or assume that everybody's going to do that. Not to say that this is the same kind of an issue. I'm just saying, in theory, that I'm not there yet, that anything that is scripturally, we agree is scripturally defined, is a forced issue, and you know, no matter how divisive it's going to be or how controversial it's going to be.
And one of my questions is it divisive if two people say...
Right, and so no, that's, yeah. And that's the thing is, if we know it's going to call it a firestorm, and it's a, you know, it's not a level one matter of faith, you know, then, you know, skip it. But yeah, if it's two people, I think we just say, you know, Steve, Keaton, you know, let's study this. Here's where we are with it. And then, you know, this is our decision and go in peace kind of a thing. But I think we have to understand, you know, if it's two people or if it's more, and, but yeah.
And the, one of the big issues is trusting our leadership. I think there's a mistrust there.
Yeah.
That I think is an important factor we have to look at.
Yep. Because here's my fear. Look, I was iffy about being an elder anyway, but you invited me, it was announced. Now people are coming up. I'm so excited. So that's, we've already put it out there.
Yeah.
I fear to go back on that is not impossible, but certainly would create possibly a morale problem for some. And I feel like Jeff said a while ago, we're on the verge of, I think, something pretty cool. And I don't want this to derail us. I'm just put in an awkward position of, what do I say? Because I said I was going to do it and people are excited now. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to go back personally on that. Yeah, not to be an elder,
that,
just
and
to
I think
join.
That, like, so say 6 months down the road and you're like, oh, I can't handle being with Jeff and Steve in the same room for an hour. And at that point, like, so I mean, Ross, he stepped down because he felt that it wasn't his time. And that's sort of the same kind of thing. I mean, 6 months later, you step down and that's one thing. But right now, before you even start, you step down, it's so much different.
That's what would be weird to people.
Yes. Yeah.
If I said, well, I decided not to do it, when I just said I'm excited about doing it.
Yes. Yeah.
Because truly, I want to make sure that I am doing a good job at CFS first.
Yeah.
And if I can do this too, which Steve was able to do, I may not have all the talent Steve had. And if it interferes and I'm not able to do CFS, then I would say I can't commit really well to either one. And this, for now, has to be my choice. I mean, but that would be my decision after amount of time. Whatever you guys decide, I want you to demonstrate strong leadership, even if it's against me. I'm going to be fine either way. I'll either go to church here or somewhere. I'm going to lead CFS. CFS is great. I love it. It's the best job I've ever had. Thank you. I'm going to be fine either way. I'll be fine here. I'll be fine somewhere else. But this church needs you to be decisive and strong. Amen. If that's against me or it's against Steve and Keaton, or if it gets all of us and you kick us all out, I think we need a strong vision and a strong decision and not to make decisions out of fear or panic. But what are the next 10 years of McKnight going to be? What is that? What is that vision? We've got Andrew in place. I hope we get Devin in place full time later when we can afford it. Nathan's killing it. I mean, he's the best youth minister this church has ever had. I think I can say that, because I was a youth minister. I want you to be strong in your decisions.
Appreciate that.
And even if it's saying no to people. Mm-hmm. And you guys made a decision that this is what we're going to do, and then Keaton and Steve come in, and I know you're buds with them, and I know you appreciate them, and they have served this church a long time. But we need to be strong, whatever that is, to whoever that is. Even if it's against me.
Yeah. So a couple comments. So one is, tonight you have seen how sausage is made. and I think it's good. You know, you now know that we don't work in a world of clarity. And you know, there's all this stuff that we don't know. We're not omniscient. Yeah. And it's like, who knows what? You know, who's this group that Steve knows? And so anyway, we are... frail people, you know, we're doing the best we can, and you know that, but, you know, we are going to make a lot of bad decisions. We're going to keep making bad decisions, but I think your point is, you know, we need to be strong, and there's certain things that are fundamental. You know, you can be wishy-washy on some things, but on the vision of the church, key things, yeah, we need to be united and strong, and so anyway, we pray your grace on us as we make these decisions and the decisions that we've made in the past and however poorly those may have been. But yeah, you kind of understand some of the pushes and pulls we're trying to deal with. So,
oh, yeah.
So appreciate that. And I guess I'm writing this down, and a lot of good discussion. So, and I do the minutes. So for the action items, we've talked about different meetings, and it seems like it came down to a single meeting, or the elders with Eric will meet either jointly or individually with Keaton and Steve. Is that what we've decided?
I advocate that you don't meet alone with those two guys, that elders are involved in those meetings. And I want to be as supportive of them as we are of you.
And we will initiate that meeting. We'll talk to them and see what Eric's timing is and everything. Or
what do you guys, what does that look like? I'm just that element of it. Seems clear.
And you really, you're taking the chair, you know, next month, and I don't know if that kind of falls on you. If we have to do it this month, you know, I'll try to pull something together ASAP. But
so what do you guys think about urgency? And, you know, last time we made a decision, we got to meet with Eric this week.
And it went sideways. Yeah.
So here we're setting a path. Let's talk about timing.
Everybody's off work next week on Thursday. We could probably all do it then. Christmas Day.
Thank you very much.
Well, I think Sunday you become an elder totally, and I think you should just go and deal with it.
Yeah. Excellent.
It's Monday.
Excellent.
I like that.
They wanted me to do the
He'll be an elder for 1 week, and then he's gone.
Dump it on Fitz in his last week.
Yeah.
Me and Don will take care of it. Yeah, don't worry. Because we have one overlap.
Since the holidays are coming up, are Keaton and Steve expecting you to get back to them or set something up? Or?
I mean, they're curious what we're going to do, but they don't know the path forward. And
we've ghosted them with that whole thing.
And so
we've been friendly with them, just as friendly. I mean, you haven't been here, but and they weren't here. Or Steve was here this week, but Keaton and the family were not.
I don't think it's a mistake to do that January 5th at our next elders meeting. I don't think that puts it off too much, and it's a busy time.
We've got the holidays. People are thinking about family and hopefully not this stuff. So.
And I don't know how much of that day was going to be the they smell like sheep teaching, but
yeah. He and I will be gone.
Well, actually, we were going to do the third Sunday. I don't know if we ever got to that.
So they
first Sunday would be more meeting. The second one would be more training.
But we're not ready for that book. That book doesn't start until we get the elders in training in our groups. That was my understanding is we have to wait for Matthew and Eric, whomever is here, before we start that book.
Oh, okay.
Which could be good then for that third or the fifth, because then that would be the 13th was the day that you had originally thought about doing the book, which would be the second meeting of the month of January. So we could do that.
And so on the January 5th meeting, you know, you play out the conversation in your head, and it's going to go a couple different ways. But one of them, it seems like Steve and Keaton are going to say, okay, you know, what's changed? Why all of a sudden are we, what's up with the divorce thing? You know, how did this get resolved? You know, you can't just drop it. Okay, what do we do? Is the plan to have a class? Is the plan just to have a class with them? Or how do we play that out? Because that's going to come up. They're going to say, because that's what happened with Steve and when I talked with them afterwards. It's, you know, why is divorce all of a sudden allowable now? What changed? You know, what's going on here?
Well, I think that meeting is primarily to help healing between Eric and Steve and Keaton and make sure and for us to learn a little bit more about how pervasive they feel, how many folks are involved here.
Well, that should be separate from me.
They won't list them off, but I don't, yeah.
So are you talking about having Steve and Keaton and Eric in an elders meeting and having that discussion?
Yes, on the 5th.
Huh.
And
I wonder if it'd be better having Keaton, Steve, and Eric with just two elders going through it.
Yeah, I'm open to
it. Or should we do it separate?
I don't feel
separate.
I mean, one with Keaton and one with Steve?
Correct.
Yeah.
And I don't care either way.
I would prefer that.
You know, I think it's more meetings, but I think they had two very different topics that they brought up, and I think letting them feed off each other is not healthy to get a conversation. If it should be about them restoring a relationship with Eric.
Yeah, and that's not, and that one won't be about divorce. That's a separate meeting with us. It's just about the problems they had with him, with his theology, and some of the drama.
Okay. Now I'm trying to get the action item. So we were talking one meeting. Now we're talking two meetings. Well, actually, we're talking three meetings. Right. So there's a meeting with Steve Hopp, a meeting with Keaton to discuss relationship issues. There's a separate meeting. And again, at least two elders will be present in those. There's a separate meeting with both of the gentlemen specifically to discuss divorce. Is that what you were saying? So there's two separate meetings.
Not just those two, but anyone else that they know that have a problem with divorce, elders.
Yeah, so then that's getting a little bit more complicated.
Yeah.
So if we think that there are scenarios where teaching is needed related to the Greek and the understanding of how Paul writes that the words, then that's not going to be able to happen in sort of an ad hoc scenario. Mm-hmm. It's going to have to be probably a Sunday morning or a Saturday afternoon, some kind of thing like that, that gets set up with enough time for everybody to be there. Mm-hmm. And especially January is going to be a hard time because of the weather. So, and maybe what we do is for a scenario like that, because it's a year at least commitment of sitting with the elders, as we get down the line, we may put it on a Sunday morning, have an additional elders part 201 or whatever, and that would be dealing with some of the more complex issues of eldership.
So with that, again, it goes back to we've gone several steps back up the decision tree, where what you just said was we would have Eric setting in without everything resolved, and sometime over that year we try to resolve things and have some classes, which I'm not opposed to, but what do we need resolved before we have Eric sit in? And again, what meetings do we need to have on January 5th and with whom? And sorry, you're sitting in on all this, this is what's going on. So,
and do the meetings with Keaton and I and two elders, does that have to be part of an elders meeting, or can that be
no
off time?
Okay. Yeah.
And so again, we've kind of gone up the decision tree, and I'm not opposed to what you're saying, but are we in agreement to that? What do we need to be resolved to have Eric sit in here, or do we need to kind of jump through the hoops that are before us and address whatever personnel issues Keaton and Steve may have with Eric, and then whatever theological issues they may have with divorce before that meeting or before having Eric in?
So my thoughts would be whenever it's available for you, and then have those two meetings
with two of the elders at least, right?
And then, because we've had this conversation with Eric, we'll even just at the end of it let Eric lead first, and you have a moment to then say, "Okay, Steve, how are you feeling? You've met with him now. You know, anything change? What are you thinking? Let him. You know, I'd be very loose, careful how I phrase it. You know, say, you know, how are you feeling now after you've met with Eric?" And let both those conversations with them after those meetings decide they hit the divorce again. They still don't understand the divorce. Let them know, hey, we're going to move forward, but we're going to have some classes on this now. We'd appreciate some time to get that together or something. I mean, I think because I don't want us to make more meetings and then realize these two meetings fixed it right there.
And one of the reasons we were trying to be protective of you when we approached the elders' meetings, and instead of saying, okay, we're going to talk about what divorce is and divorced man being an elder, we decided, and it was the wrong decision, I guess, looking back, we didn't want to do that because it would have put you in an awkward position.
It would have sort of pointed the finger at you.
Yeah.
In that situation.
I would have been okay, totally okay.
Which maybe have been fine,
yeah,
but there's a lot of other issues that you could have also brought up too. But we just only had three classes as well. So
right.
We were sort of tight on time. We wanted to be very straightforward in handing out papers and saying, hey, this is what the eldership is about, how we work generally. But, yeah, and it would be just one little piece and saying, hey, this is the big spotlight. And it's like, well, we didn't want that spotlight
happening.
That's
what Don did. He talked about a husband of a one-woman man. So he talked about that, and that was it. He wasn't specific, in which... Looking back now, we should have done it differently.
And anytime you need to talk about me to other people without me there, I mean, I know I'm divorced. My wife knows that I've been divorced.
Yeah.
It's not a secret. It's nothing I'm ashamed of. It is part of my story. Mm-hmm. It's what fuels my commitment to marriages and CFS now. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if I hadn't gotten divorced. You are free to bring it up in front of anybody, and that's never awkward for me.
Yeah. But as a matter of principle, though, I feel awkward in that, you know, should anybody come up to us and say, okay, were there any elders that had sex before they were married? You know, were there any elders that did drugs, you know, that had trouble with opioids or addictions and things like that? And which is kind of the same thing. It's like, you know, what have they struggled with? Okay, I'm okay with that, okay with that, okay, that's a bridge too far. And so who are we now? How do we appear to the congregation is kind of what we try to present to them. And again, it's each of us has a background. And that, just for me personally, that's kind of where I'm coming from, is I thankfully didn't have to answer a lot of questions, personal questions. You know, I became a Christian late in life, and, you know, that had some ramifications to it. So anyway, I'm glad that you're open to it. I was not as open.
Well, and I grew up in this weird little cult that we call the Church of Christ.
Yeah.
And I get how deeply ingrained that teaching is in our creed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get that part. I totally understand that part. I've got my own interpretation of it. I've got my own experience. I'm willing to talk about that and willing to share. Even if they want to know what happened in my marriage, I will tell them everything that I know. I don't know everything. I know enough to know she left me for another guy, and I didn't know it was happening. But I'm willing to talk about that. I'm pretty open about my life. I mean, I remember the day at Pasta House? I slid the Dear John letter across the lunch table to Brad, and I'm like, I didn't even know how to talk about that. I didn't even know what was going on then. Later, I found out everything. So honestly, if anybody has any questions about what happened, I am an open book about that, as much as I can know from her side.
All right, so we'll work on those meetings.
Well, wait, so what I'm hearing, so it kind of changed. So from here, what I heard is, first, Eric will meet with Steve Hopp whenever they can get together, and at least two elders would be there. And I think Steve would be good, just your background in, you know, counseling. And Dave, I don't know... Well, you may be harder to get a hold of.
It might be better just to pick the dates, and it's which of y'all can
right,
make
we can meet.
Dates.
So first, you're going to – and so Eric's going to reach out to Steve Hopp. Hey, when can we get together? Eric's going to reach out to Keaton separately and say, hey, when can we get together? And Eric's going to say, hey, who can meet up these dates and times, right?
You guys okay with that? Because you told me not to –
I was like, do you want him to do the reaching out?
Well,
do whatever you want.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I think the elders should be the ones arranging the meetings.
Yeah.
Sort of like a middle ground. Yeah. So it's the same meeting that you said. It's just that it's not Eric reaching out.
Right. So that goes back to the timing of the things. Because it'd be easier if the meeting was set up and then they said, here's what time it is, so the elders could figure out whose that is. So if the elders setting up the meeting, that okay, so I'm just trying to get clarity here. So you want one of the elders to
be the sort of the in-between person.
Right. So that elder doesn't have to actually be there, but just be the secretary to set the time up. Okay.
It looks better from a leadership standpoint if you guys are doing it.
Yeah. So that makes sense. So
that you're in control and not me.
One of the elders will act as a secretary. Doesn't have to be at the meeting.
Wait, we'll initiate. Have to be at the meeting.
Well, what? He's saying if he sets up the email, he's saying, but can't make that date. If two of you go, he doesn't have to be at the meeting right. If he sets up the email.
I'm just the secretary.
Two people might. He might be one of them. Okay. But yeah. he's saying.
Yeah. So at least two elders will be at the meeting yeah. with Steve and Eric right. and.
And then the secretary will do the same thing with Keaton and Eric. Just reach out and, hey, we'd like to have a conversation, you know, blah, blah, blah. What works for you? Now, is there a second meeting? Because you kind of also said, okay, after this first meeting, things may be resolved. And, you know, we talk separately to Keaton and Steve. Hey, is there any issues? You know, is that a separate meeting where we call them into the elders without Eric? Or and just say, hey... We've met, you guys have talked about it. Are you okay with Eric not becoming an elder, but Eric sitting in and you know, discerning for a year?
I mean, my thought is it's the discernment of that moment. If they just seem hard-pressed, it's like, okay, well, we'd like to talk. We're willing to talk some more, but,
you know. Yeah, but I think what he had said originally was that Eric would leave the meeting first. So four people meet together. Mm-hmm. Let's say Steve, Eric, two elders. Eric is asked to leave, and then those two elders talk with the Steve or Keaton just to get their understanding. And it would only be if that understanding was still very adamant, hey, we're leaving the church no matter what. At that point, Eric's not even really part of that conversation at that point. And then it may be that more of the elders or that group of elders need to have a conversation to figure out really what the issue is. Because...
So we will call an audible after right. that first meeting. So we are nothing set in stone. After that first meeting, we'll call an audible and decide, okay.
And that meeting is not focusing on the divorce issue. It's focusing on the problem with Eric and those guys.
And if it really is the divorce issue, let's say that's the... So say there it's nothing about character... back to the word that David used earlier. So it's not character at all, and it's only divorce. At that point, then that's definitely a different conversation, and it probably will need to have a class at that point and have a bigger picture of what it is. And it may be just that all of us sit down at the table with them like we did with the spring retreat, and we had our conversations around the table, and just sit there with the idea of divorce. With them, and then that way, and they can invite anybody else that they feel have that same issue.
So,
but that would be later right. down the road, and Eric would, in what the thought would be that Eric would be able to come and sit with the elders at that point, because that would not be an right. issue.
So this sounds good. I will write this up and put it in my minutes. I don't know if I could be able to get these out tomorrow, but again, I do pretty good job on these. So read through these and. You know, after you've sit on it a day and prayed about it for a day, you know, hopefully, you know, if it doesn't smell right, you know, let's revisit it, but make sure that I have written down. And then later on in the week, we can appoint a secretary and see when we want to get with Keaton and Steve. Okay.
I think it's... prudent that we don't have Matthew or Eric start in any of our elder meetings. And we can tell Matthew we're working through a few things, and we'll get you guys going when the time is better. And that way you can just tell people it hasn't started.
Yeah.
And Matthew can say the same.
I like that.
How are you feeling?
I mean, okay. I'm fine. It's weird. You know, I actually don't like this. I know it's weird to think that I don't like conflict, but I don't. I tend to create it. I apologize for that. I know I've been a thorn in your side before through my different emails. And I just want the best for McKnight. I really do. And I'm a little too intense at times. I have strong opinions that I share. I'm not afraid to be myself and throw stuff out there. I knew when I said in class, I don't believe in hell anymore, there was a voice in my head that was like, why do you say this stuff in public? And I explained it real quickly, but, you know, it's that stuff that gets me in trouble. It's that spontaneous, off-the-cuff stuff I say, but I'm just being me. I'm just trying to be authentic and genuine. My favorite description of Jesus is that there was no guile in him. He wasn't working a system. He just was who he was. And I'm just trying to be authentic and be that. And it gets me in trouble because I share my thoughts. And I do apologize for being trouble. I don't, did not intend to be trouble. Did not know this was going to blow up when Brad called me and left a voicemail. I'm like, uh-oh. Like, what did I do now? So I do apologize. It's not my intention to be this much trouble. I actually hate it. I just want people to like me. I want this church to do well. And we've just, I feel like we've been spinning our wheels for so long, and I feel like we're like right there of turning a corner. So I hope we can work through this in a really healthy way.
So a couple things, and we don't have to go long, a lot longer, but there's a bit of a Jackie Robinson element to breaking this ground of an elder who's, I don't mean to compliment you too much with that.
Oh, no, I wasn't seeing that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Okay. He took a lot of arrows, yeah. Okay, and nobody can point to any elder in our region that we know of that has experienced a divorce. And so our abundance of caution and all that part of that, and we don't want to set you up for all of that, those arrows. And so how do we do it right if that's what we're going to do? And so just know that and steel yourself for that, because some of those arrows are going to be unavoidable, just like the ones he took. And also, I did want to ask you for some more clarification, because you have told us in the past that you're okay not being an elder, and you don't want any to do anything that's divisive for the body, and that's been very good to hear from you. And we also heard from you that you've always wanted to be an elder, and that was a more recent. And so there's a little dichotomy as far as, are you really okay here? Because this could still go either direction.
Sure.
And I know you can have duplicate thoughts too and feelings. That's, you know, I get that. But I wanted you to elaborate a little bit more, because both of those things have come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And so we want to be fair with, you know, the, you know, how we're bouncing you around.
No.
Inadvertently.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Ever since I was a little kid, I just loved church. I don't know if it's the sugar that my parents gave me right before and right after, but I loved going to church. My parents would go home, and I would stick around and talk to people and walk home, because I loved it. I couldn't have been more involved. Maybe it was just because there was nothing else to do. I didn't have any cable or video games, and so being at church was a lot better than being at home. I always wanted to be an elder. From the time I was a little kid, I was like, that's what I want to do. Not for the money, not for the fame, just I read these stories about leaders in the Old Testament that led God's people, and I was like, I want that. I want wisdom. I want to lead people, not for fame and fortune, just that's where my heart's always been. That's never changed until the last couple of years, where I was invited and disinvited, and that was a big bummer the first time, but I was like, oh, okay. And then as I talked through, do I want to do this? Would I be a good fit? You know, people would say things like, you would make a good elder because you're not good at consensus, and they have to have consensus. And I went, you know, that's a good point. I never thought about that. Actually, maybe I don't need to be an elder. Got the job at CFS, and I was like, maybe this is just what I do. I love being in charge of CFS. So I would say for out of my 59 years, probably 40 were spent wanting to be an elder. Like, that's what I wanted to do. I've never wanted to be a CEO or famous. You could say that was a big career mistake on my part, and my parents would probably agree. But I just wanted to be an elder. And it was in the last probably 10 years that I was like, eh. And so when it got to the point where you guys asked me to be a part, I'm like, actually, I don't know. When we went out and had coffee, I really meant it when I said, I'm kind of done. Like, I'm just exhausted with the idea and the trouble. And I really was kind of done at that point. And to me, the divorce issue was always about getting guys like Jason to be an elder, right? Because the same thing happened to him. And is there anybody more qualified than Jason to be an elder? No. He would be perfect. And so I just wanted to have the conversation with people to kind of pave the way for others that might come after me through no fault of their own, were left in a marriage with no choice but to end it. And so, yeah, it's a mixed bag. I would say for 4 years, that's all I wanted. For the last 10, it's been iffy. Does that help at all? And then when this came up, really, Brett, we went to coffee, and I'm like, I'm glad to be asked again, but I don't know. And then Steve and I had a miscommunication at camp. Yeah. And I thought it was, yeah, I'm okay not being an elder. And he thought I said, yes, I want to be an elder. And I was interested, but it was with trepidation. So that's my long-winded answer. Any clarification needed on that or questions about that?
Thanks. I guess my question would be, can you sit here today and say that, you know, you're willing to do whatever the eldership does? Is that something that you can put your heart into?
You mean in this current situation?
Yeah.
With?
This group of people.
I mean, are you asking, I want to clarify, are you asking if I'm willing to do whatever you guys are willing to tell me to do with this current situation with Keaton and Steve? Or if I sit in, am I able to do consensus?
Yes.
Both of those?
I'm trying to, when I heard you say when we got together that you're going to think about it and show up to church for 2 weeks, and you told me you were going to take off some time. And,
yeah.
You know, I was concerned that you were going to potentially walk away, and that's the last thing that we said we wanted you to do.
Yeah.
And I would like to hear that sitting here and talking through these things has hopefully made it at least somewhat better than where we left it before. But ultimately, a decision is going to be made.
Yeah.
And I don't want anybody walking away.
Yeah.
Because I think the two things that Jesus insists upon is it's the love for your brethren that is going to be the witness of what the church is all about. And every time Satan can split us for all these stupid things that churches, you know, we're in a cosmic battle right here. And I believe wholeheartedly that we don't all have to agree on everything, but when it comes down, like you said, to leadership, and I don't like when people say, oh, I'm going to leave them, you know. And I'm long term. I mean, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
And I want to do whatever I can to make that work. And you and I can disagree, but we still got to love each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, no doubt. So I feel much better than when we talked that Thursday. Is that the day? But remember I said, hey, I won't come to church this Sunday because I was in a weird spot and you guys were going to have a meeting.
Right.
And I didn't want people to ask me, excited about being an elder? And I go, I don't know what's happening. I didn't want to have to answer that question. So I said, you know what? Me and Liz took a day. We actually had a great day. We had a date day all day. Oh, my God. It was one of the better days of the year for me. The next Sunday, I just taught it. I preached at O'Fallon, filling in for Shane Hines. But it was good for me to be away because last I knew, I was disinvited to be an elder. Steve Walker said something to my wife like, well, we're not sure. We're hoping there's ways forward. And we're like, what? I was told that I was disinvited. So what are they? I was just confused because I thought that's where we left it. I was disinvited. And so it was good for me to be away. I didn't want to cause any problems in that meeting because there's nothing worse than a toxic public meeting. And I wanted to give you guys a chance to have that meeting without me there, so I didn't spoil it beforehand. So it was good to be away that Sunday. I spoke at O'Fallon this past Sunday, which I'm always glad to go out and represent CFS and talk to people. I feel much better about where this is going. Not to say that I'm going to be an elder, but just to say we're going to work through this issue and find out where it goes. Because
okay.
I may still decide in 6 months, I don't think I can do this. But I don't want a personal issue with two brothers that I thought I was good with to be in the way of that. based on a misunderstanding. And then if we can work through the divorce issue, whether it helps me or someone else down the road, I would be very interested in having those conversations. So that's kind of where I'm at. Did that answer your question? Like, I don't want to leave this church. I'm a bad infection. I just don't go away. I've been here too long. I don't have a place anywhere else. What I like about McKnight is I'm known, and I know. Josh showed up Sunday for the pancake breakfast, and Liz was like, oh, man, Josh was really looking forward to seeing you. I'm like, that's why I go to church. It's connections with people.
Sure.
Do I want to lose that and go to some journey out in West County where nobody knows me? I don't want that. But, you know, ultimately, we'll make decisions. After you make decisions, we'll make decisions. And it's not out of spite or malice. It's where do I think God is leading me in this season of my life? I'm looking at the next 10 years of my life. And where do I want to go? Where? What is God calling me to? Is it here? Great. Is it somewhere else? Great. So it won't be out of anger. It's out of where is God? If God says no to this, where is he pushing me? Because when he closes doors, he opens doors. And I want to find out where that is. And if it's here, great. If it's somewhere else, that's good too.
We'd like it to be here. So just, you
know. Ultimately, I would too. I mean, this is where I know people. This is my family. But if God's calling me somewhere else, that's okay too.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't you give us a chance to mull this over, and we'll be back to you.
Sounds good. So you'll reach out to me. I'm not reaching out to Keaton and Steve.
Right.
Can before we pray? I was going to say, yeah, exactly the same thing. And sure. Dave, would you pray?
Father, we praise you for your wisdom and love, Jesus' example of dealing with messy people. And we confess our messiness and our imperfections. And we ask for your grace and love that we can extend it to each other and to the body and represent you well. Father, please give us wisdom in this and help us connect with Steve and Keaton and generate healing and a path forward. And we want to thank you for Eric and Elizabeth and their gifts and love for this body, and we thank you for them, and we pray for the next steps, and open our minds to your wisdom and your love and your leadership. Thank you for the purpose you give us, and we ask that we stay focused on that here, and that your will be done, and help us to see that, and we ask for clarity in that. With the path forward. So thank you for this time tonight and each other. Bless Don and Steve who aren't here. We pray they're doing all right. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Eric. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Putting up with me.
We love you.
Yeah, I love you guys, too. Be easier if I didn't. Don't stay too late.
See you later.
Brett's in charge.
Yeah.
He doesn't like that.
Yeah. And I've already ran him past.
He blew out my agenda.
8 o'clock.
Sorry yeah.
Well, I got a text from Steve this evening.
Hop?
Hop, mm-hmm. Yeah. Asking, you know, where things stand. I'm thinking we ought to call him right now, and you know, if we've got this plan in place, we can start right now.
I don't know if we acted hastily before, if a day would help us. Just and I think soon. Yeah. So
by the same token,
yeah.
You know, I think this is really important,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And because I have a feeling, my fear is there's going to be winners and losers, and I don't want that. And that's the part that just tears me up. I appreciated Eric's willingness to say that we're free to say anything about his situation now, because there are things that I was very much torn wanting to talk about that I didn't feel I had the right to do. But I'm, you know. So, tell me when you got the time, and if you want to hear some stuff.
Okay. Stuff from 30 years ago?
Well, it goes back to when he and Cindy were married, yeah.
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 Is that even something that's relevant today?
It gave me pause when I entrusted my children to him, and he didn't bother to tell us that Cindy had left, and they were supposed to be together taking care of our children while we were on a trip, and found out that she left and he stayed, and they didn't bother to call us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it troubles me.
So the question is it's definitely, as a parent, it would be a troubling situation, but it's also a troubling situation as the person that had your wife leave.
Yeah.
That's in really knowing how to handle that. Because I know that if I was there having to take care of, even like as the children's minister, it's a very complicated situation of having to deal with kids and then also having to deal with your wife leaving, and then also, I have your kids, but my wife just left me, and it's a very complicated situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think about the Sunday we had to take Samuel. I got a call from the grandparents who were watching Samuel at our house before they came to church, and having to go to the emergency room and get staples in his head. Like the things I forgot to do, just up and leaving, like. Those, nothing in those moments goes through. I can only imagine, you know, that's still an emergency that has a fixable outcome versus something like a wife leaving you that your brain shuts down. So I definitely understand as a parent how frustrating that is, but.
So the issue is discernment. He didn't have it then. Is he better at discerning today, I think would be the question.
Yeah, I think he has certainly progressed, and he has great talent and abilities. Mm-hmm. But I also see that this is something that he wants, and there's still fear that I have that makes me concerned.
But that's why we do the internship, right?
I'm sorry?
That's why we do the internship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a whole year to see it and give specific examples versus feelings of, see, that's what I'm talking about now. If 6 months from now you go, see, it's still happening.
And you're concerned that he desires the office of elder? Because that's...
We've heard it both ways now.
We what?
We've heard it both ways.
Yeah.
I mean...
So you weren't comfortable with his answer?
Well, in the past, I appreciated his respect for saying he didn't want to be divisive and he would step away for the benefit of the congregation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the heart of what an elder should do if that's the situation. And that's kind of what I think we do, you know, saying...
But we put him in that awkward situation, and when it comes to being divisive, we're the ones that did that. And how other people respond, if we tell him no, that's not him.
Well, I think I said it in this place more than once, there are people here who are not going to accept the situation.
With being an elder, divorced?
Yeah. I mean, didn't hit that head on, and here we are.
It, maybe it's, so I think of the process of teaching. You don't know you need to know something until you know you need something.
Yeah.
And so the fact is that they are in that situation that they never cared. This is something that we learned, this is how it was. But the fact is that now is like how we did with musical instruments, how we did with women participating. Mm-hmm. All of these things, they did cause people to leave. There's no question. Kreider and I had so many conversations about the idea of the merger even, how it's going. I did lots of study before I moved back to the U.S. on mergers, and a third of the congregation is all that remains after about 10 years. We are sitting at about a third of the congregation because of all these just different variables. This is a new variable. And you have to make people understand that they need to know something before they're interested, but they're going to be the ones that don't care. And those are the ones that are going to leave because they're not even going to listen to the teaching. And so now it's the time to get ready to teach on it when people are ready to hear, because we're putting them into a new situation where they have to be able to feel it and be able to see that they need to know that information. Because just like all the other things, most people, if you were to ask them what we talked about during those 3 weeks, they're going to tell you probably nothing. Just basic knowledge things that it wasn't new to them, because a lot of it was not. Maybe the vision, they would say the vision elder, the shepherding elder, and the admin elder, or pastoral and admin elder. That'd be probably the only thing that they're going to be able to hear, because nothing else was really new. And we didn't really want to make it new. We wanted to wait for the new for the future. And so maybe now is a good time to start, as he's sitting in. We want to talk to you about some of the situations of life and how we see this working.
And the comment that I wasn't at the meeting, but they put on there that there's no other Churches of Christ in St. Louis that has divorce elders. That was kind of, I laughed out loud when I read that. Because our women's role are instrumental. No other Churches of Christ have that either. That wasn't a reason to not do that. I just like, that's not a good reason. And I talked to a couple of the ministers. One of them has Lafayette has an elder who is with his second wife. His first wife died. So again, some people may think that's different.
And stayed on, if I remember correctly.
Do what?
And he stayed on during.
Yeah, right, yeah.
The in-between phase.
Yeah, just he was single. And he stayed on as an elder.
Andrew, you've got some distance from this. What are your thoughts about Steve and Keaton and Eric and how to thread the needle?
Me and Steve talked about it, actually both Steves at different times. I think the one thing is, and I think you've all voiced it in some way, is it was the day or two later that I thought, man, we decided really fast on that. That feels like something we should have waited and prayed a little bit on of where to go first before just jumping into some meetings or even really saying no, because, I think we should have done some more due diligence of, okay, who are the others, those kind of things. I think what really comes down to it, because the thing that got under my skin the most probably was Steve when he said, if you put him as an elder, I will leave. Because I do not like ultimatums like that at all. I've never have. I think that's, like you were saying, I mean, that's a very childish way of, I'll take my toys and go somewhere else if you're not going to do it my way. Now, that's not the same as having multiple conversations over time and someone finally saying, I still don't agree. I think I need to find some place where I, that's trying it. To say, I'm just going to flip the board kind of thing and walk away, I never like that. I think it is up to you as the elders to look towards the future and not to the present or the past in these situations.
Did you get a sense from Eric in a softer way that he was saying the same thing, though, with Steve Hopp?
What do you mean?
is, you know, I may have to look at other options. And it's like, well, you read between the lines, and he wanted you to read between the lines. And
I do, but I think that I think that's coming out of, I mean, did he say that when y'all met with him, mm-hmm. that he'd have to leave?
That's a real possibility. He didn't.
See, and I was okay with Keaton even saying it was a possibility that if his kid, like, right. mine's the more forceful one, I guess. But mm-hmm. I mean, because the answer is, I understand it. If it does put you in this limbo to say you thought we were good, thought we were going to win, especially this being his second time. I mean, I understand it. That those happens. I do agree. I still don't like hearing it from him either that way of, you know, we'll work through it. But the truth is I at least appreciate that he is acknowledging that that is making it a hard, something he has to think through, especially coming from a church where no one says anything and they just ghost you the next Sunday, never to show up again. I would at least rather hear the obvious answer. I'll be candid. I felt so bad. By the end of the week, I was very thankful to hear from Jeff that y'all had met on Saturday and other conversations were being had, the same that I was thinking. Monday, I had actually come in and I had talked to Elizabeth for a little bit and just asked her how she was doing, because I was like, hey, you know, as part of the staff, I want to know how you're doing. And, you know, she admitted that it was been hard, that it was that just knowing, you know, where you thought something was going. And, you know, I think that's the thing we have to remember is with anything that's like this, You need time to process, and you know your gut reaction is. I mean, I think there was three different times at Vaughn Hill where my wife said we were leaving, and we stayed. But there were times where we at least had to acknowledge, I'm not sure we can stay here, and it was still after time and prayer that you know we stayed. And but it is one of those that I do think. Your part as leadership is to not, you know, and you hate doing this, you almost have to take the friendships aside and say, what do we think is best for McKnight in the coming years? Whether that's, you know, we want people to understand that we think Eric has something to bring to this table that is something we need and can bring something to the table that we want to be part of, the relationships that he has with people, the way that he manages, and you know the truth. That's something I said. I mean, to some degree, I need an Eric in my corner because I'm one that I worry about the risk sometimes that I catch myself sitting around forever wondering, and I need an Eric sometimes that's going to kick me in the rear and say, "Let's just do it and try it." And so, you know, I think at least on my end, I could see him balancing some of us very well. And I think that's why I like the training period, because, you know, the balance works as long as he's willing to balance. And so I think that could be very good and healthy for us. But at the same time, you know, where's your line of, are you willing to lose, stick to your guns on this and potentially lose a couple families over it? And, but I think you can't make it about the people individually. It's you've got to think further past that and say what's good for. And I think that's where the weaker brother falls apart. Is that's because I've argued that before. Is if I'm just going over to the house to hang out with somebody, that's one thing. Yeah, we don't have to listen to the music. I said, but you are the leaders of the church, and it is your job to say, no, we believe that after reading this, this is how we feel. Now it is our job to teach, to help bring them along as best we can, but we've got to keep moving them forward the way we think we're supposed to go following God. And it never makes that easier, which is why I get to always say, and that's why I'm thankful I'm the preacher and you're the elders.
So we need someone who's going to reach out to Steve and someone who's going to reach out to Keaton and let them know what we're trying to accomplish, and see if they're willing to meet with them and Eric and somebody else too.
Do we want to just say that whoever that is also is going to do it? Let's just say we'll reach out to them on Wednesday afternoon or even Thursday morning to give at least Steve Walker maybe not Don's as he's rolling off, but, you know, give Steve at least a day to know what's going on so he's on the same page as well and understands what's going on. And for us to have continued time of prayer to make sure we know what that we're all in agreement on this. You had said you needed a day or so to put your notes together. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and the guess would be that probably the meetings would not happen until the first of the year anyway. That you could, it would be setting them up as soon as possible to a point. But because of the holidays, I would say
understanding that
probably it's not going to be until the first of the year, but at least having them on track. So,
well, both of those guys are retired, so they're, I mean, between now and probably Tuesday is the only window we would have. Is that a realistic window?
No, yeah, I think next year. I think January. Okay. It would be like setting it up between now and the end of the week. So if Brett gets his email out by Wednesday-ish, let's say. Or Thursday, and then whoever's making the calls would do that right after that, by the end of this week. And so at least they know by the end of the week that we are working on it, we are working to set things up and have these conversations. And I would say probably the same person would probably be the best person to do it. Like you had said, the secretary idea, because then they could have Eric's schedule and say, Eric is free on these days. Steve, having that conversation with Steve, and Steve's free, matching with Eric's this free one, and then the same thing with Keaton. And it'll be pretty easy for the two of them because they're retired, but Eric's schedule is not as free as theirs usually. So.
Okay, good. So I think we've got a path forward. We'll pray about a lot of this stuff, and I'll get my notes out as quick as we can, and just hopefully God can help us thread this needle and find a way through it all. Brad, would you close us in a prayer?
Lord, I think back to many times we've been sitting in this fourth level and we feel the need for your guidance, and it's never been as heavy for me as it is tonight. Pray, Lord, that we will truly listen and deal with people's lives that will be what you wish. Father, help us not to be able to instinct in any way create things to make it worse, but help us to bring together, I believe, what is your heart, which is to love each other with a love that signifies your answer to what the world needs. And help us to all work together to achieve that goal. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be poured upon us, that we do not work or do anything too hastily, but at the same time, we want to put your work first before anything else. Help us to be kingdom people that see the need, and we pray, Lord, that we are doing your will. We ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, everybody.